Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good.
Good to be back here with you again on another Sunday evening.
Always great to be here Sunday evenings.
Yeah, studying God's Word and
Amen.
Proclaiming God's truth.
Which you should study God's Word every day.
Every day, exactly.
But you can't listen to us every day.
In Hosea it says, my people are ruined for a lack of knowledge.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You got it? Exactly. And that raises a point we mentioned last week, and we always talk about that off the air when we talk on the phone and so forth, that about the times we're living in and what's going on, not only in the world, but in the churches. And I think we're going to probably do some long series about this, but you talk about lack of knowledge. Now, the only knowledge people have is, I love Jesus, he loves me, and that's all I need to know. And those statements are true, but it's been reduced to a, it's all about me
mm-hmm.
kind of a faith.
Yeah.
I can't even watch Christian satellite stations anymore because 90% of the people on there are just talking weird stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you hear people talk about health and wealth and how don't worry about this and don't worry about that, and
mm-hmm.
you can, you know, speak and make your own future because God loves you so much and you're his son and daughter. So,
yeah.
You know, don't worry about anything. I mean, it just gives me the shivers.
Yeah. It has really nothing to do with the gospel message of setting people free and delivering them and, you know, an inheritance of heavenly proportions as opposed to earthly possessions.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now it's more like, well, what's he done for me lately? I need some more stuff.
Yeah. That's about it. Yep. Google God.
Cosmic bellhop is
exactly, yeah.
And kind of Graf calls it.
Cosmic bellhop. We need some more money down here. We need some new car down here, Lord. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about what it comes down to anymore.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, I ran my credit card debt up to $50,000. Now I need to get out. So can you take care of that?
I didn't tell you to do that.
Yeah. So last week we were talking about the flight into Egypt from Matthew chapter 2.
And what airlines did they take?
And we still have more cool stuff to say
about it.
So maybe, Steve, you should reread that passage.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, Matthew chapter 2, was 13 to 15.
Yeah. When they had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, rise, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you. Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. Joseph rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. He stayed there until the death of Herod, that what the Lord had said through the prophet might be fulfilled. Out of Egypt I called my son. When Herod realized that he had been deceived by the Magi, he became furious. He ordered the massacre of all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity, 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had ascertained from the Magi. Then was fulfilled that had been said through Jeremiah the prophet. A voice was heard in Ramah, sobbing aloud and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children, and she would not be consoled since they were no more.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
wow. So we talked last week, and go to giftofgraceministries.org to hear that show. We can't redo it all. But the angel gives Joseph a plan for this mm-hmm. danger that's coming.
Yeah.
And as we said, Jesus is already responsible for division, and darkness already has a plan to try to take him out.
Mm-hmm.
But God's plan, of course, is that he has to be kept safe and has to be protected, because this is not his time to die.
Exactly.
And Jesus is not going to bring salvation to us by dying at the hand of Herod when he's 12 months old, 14 months old, 18 months old, because there's a lot more to be done before the sacrifice happens.
Yeah.
And Joseph obeys that same night without thinking about it, without discussing it with anybody. He doesn't even discuss it with Mary. I mean, you get the impression here he, like, wakes her up and says, come on, we got to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just says Joseph rose, took the child and his mother by night, and departed for Egypt.
Yeah.
And they were off.
Yeah. And interestingly, it's to Egypt, which, of course, the people had been there for 425 or 435 years.
Yeah.
It was a place of idolatry, slavery, mm-hmm. persecution.
Yeah.
They killed the Hebrew baby boys. But now the Joseph and Mary and the Messiah are going to go back there, because God can use even a place like that for his purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And we may never know exactly why he picked Egypt. And as I was saying off the air earlier, if you go to the Coptic Orthodox Church, St. Mark's on Pleasant Valley Road, there they have a whole display about the Holy Family being in Egypt,
mm-hmm.
from based on Egyptian tradition of where they lived and what they did. And it's really pretty interesting.
Yeah.
It's not in the scripture, but it's pretty interesting.
Right.
But to Egypt, and we're going to get to this prophecy of out of Egypt I have called my son. But you wonder what Mary and Joseph thought. It's like, we're going to go to Egypt? Wait a minute. Every year at Passover, we say we got delivered from Egypt. And we tell the Passover story in the first person. Mm. We came out of Egypt. I came out of Egypt. I was a slave in Egypt, and God delivered me personally from Egypt. And now we're going to go back to Egypt?
Yeah, this day God delivered me from Egypt. Yeah.
And they had heard Simeon the prophet say that this child was the glory of Israel. And now they're running away from Israel.
Yeah, and destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel.
Yes, and now they're running away from Israel for his protection. And Mary had been told that by the angel that this was the Son of the Most High. And is Mary thinking, well, if this is the Son of the Most High, why do we have to run away?
Yeah. I mean, if you think about that, the whole history of the Hebrew people being enslaved in Egypt, being delivered out of Egypt, and everything that took place at the hand of Pharaoh, all the plagues, the Passover, everything.
Yes.
And then the Lord tells him in a dream, go there and wait until I tell you it's safe. You know, it reminds me of a few things in scripture where the Holy Spirit tells Peter to go to Cornelius' house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A Roman centurion, who had just, the Roman soldiers, you know, were at the, they nailed Jesus to the cross
because
they had the authority.
Yes.
So God's ways don't always match our ways of thinking.
Yes.
And he even, you know, he says that in Isaiah 55, my ways are not your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts. But as far as my thoughts are above your thoughts, so are my ways.
As the heavens are above the earth.
Yeah. So it's God's ways are very different than ours, but it's important that we don't try to outsmart God, because God has all the wisdom and knowledge, and we don't.
And you know, it doesn't tell us what Mary and Joseph were thinking, but if they were thinking, couldn't God just have some angels come here and strike Herod dead and all these other people, and we wouldn't have to go to Egypt?
Yeah,
but they don't question. They obey in faith, and they do as they're directed. Joseph takes the situation in hand immediately, and they follow what God's word is. Mm-hmm. And even though they saw no visible means of protection, like walls didn't come up around them, or no army came and surrounded them, there were no angels surrounding them, they obeyed, and God used ordinary means, like, okay, saddle up the donkey, get the baby ready, get dressed, we're going.
Yeah.
And they go all the way to Egypt by very ordinary ways.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think sometimes we think that we're going to see a vision, we're going to see, you know, some divine intervention that we can physically see and touch and feel when we're asking God for help.
Yeah.
And that might happen once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, it doesn't. You know, it's God wants us to respond to his call and to be obedient. and to follow through with what the plan is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's important that we cooperate with God's grace and we cooperate with his word.
Yeah.
You know,
and they did.
And they did.
And Joseph, amazingly, again, proves that he's been picked for this task of protecting the Messiah and his mother. And he's perfectly capable of doing that. He's, you know, he's given this great honor, but he's also given a great responsibility.
Yeah.
And when the angel says, you gotta go, they went.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they had the wise men, if they had the Magi's gold, that probably would have helped them when they got there.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause they're gonna go to a totally strange place.
That's true.
And I'm just speculating, because nobody knows the order of these things. But they responded in faith, which I think is the important part.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then they get, Joseph gets a pretty specific direction from this angel, too, as you mentioned. You know, stay there until we tell you that the danger has passed.
Mm-hmm.
So right. They're going to be totally dependent on God, as you brought up. They're not going to be, there's no way for Joseph to ascertain when's a safe time to go back.
Yeah.
There was no mass communication. He wouldn't have got an update on his phone. Herod died. You know, he wouldn't have been tuned into what was going on.
That's true.
So that's why the angel basically says, we'll let you know when you can go back.
Mm-hmm.
And he obeys. They don't make their own plan.
Yeah. Yeah, see, nowadays we rely on all of our, you know, notifications in our phones.
Yeah.
You get a notification for this and that and the other thing. And but, you know, when you're operating by the power of the Holy Spirit, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, God's going to give you things or tell you things that you need to know when you need to know them. You know, you don't have to go around seeking for those things. If you're praying and you're in a right relationship with God, He is going to give you wisdom. He is going to give you guidance when you need it. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, our part is to respond to that.
Yes.
With our yes, with our hineni, and say,
yes.
Okay, Lord, I'm ready. Yeah. You want me to go? Okay, I'm going to go. You know, Herod is furious because he realizes he was deceived by the Magi.
Yeah.
So he orders the death of all the infant boys 2 years and under.
Mm-hmm.
And as you pointed out last week, so too did Pharaoh when Moses was in Egypt.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
But Herod orders this in Bethlehem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Joseph has to have faith not only to obey, but to think that they're going to be provided for as they go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure Joseph didn't know anybody in Egypt. He probably didn't say like, well, we'll just go find my cousin who, and you know, they don't know anybody there.
Yeah.
Plus it's going to take them a while to get there.
Yeah.
With a baby, whatever they had, a donkey or,
mm-hmm.
and they have to trust. And just like in many places in the scripture, but in the book of Hebrews, which is my favorite book, for those of you that know me, you know, it says Abraham had faith. Abraham obeyed, and it was counted as righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Here, Joseph obeys. He has faith that they're going to be provided for, and it's counted as righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph is a righteous man. You're not going to find anything in the scripture that says Joseph was a creep.
No.
and he believes and acts on it immediately. And another, as you know, we like to make parallels of Old Testament, New Testament, and parallels about everything. This is also an interesting thing that here's the Messiah is going to be exiled from where his people are, which is going to happen again later mm-hmm. in his earthly life. He's going to be exiled from his people and eventually killed.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to be physically exiled, but he was spiritually exiled from the leadership. And then they finally arranged to kill him. So now he's exiled from his people and has to go to another place. And it's another humiliation for him. First of all, Jesus, as the second person of the Trinity ever existent God, humbles himself to take on flesh, then humbles himself to be under the the authority of these two people
mm-hmm.
who are really nobody special in the eyes of the world. I mean, they're pretty ordinary,
mm-hmm.
and they're not rich. They don't have a lot of stuff. They don't have a lot of means at their disposal to protect and raise the Messiah, but they're the ones that are picked.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody in a palace is picked.
Right.
At least Moses lived in the palace for a while.
Yeah.
But he condescends to be taken care of by these poor, righteous people who are very obedient to the Lord and follow the law.
Mm-hmm.
And to be born in this humble place. I mean, he couldn't have been born in a more humble place than a place where animals live.
Yeah.
And now this other humiliation of his, he has to go to a land of Gentiles to get away from his own people because there's a threat against him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's pretty amazing. And these, and you can't really say enough about Joseph and Mary, because, you know, here, interestingly too, in this dream, Mary's called the mother of the child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the angel doesn't say, you know, take your wife and the baby and go. He says, you know, take the child and his mother.
Mm-hmm.
So here she's specifically referred to as the mother of Jesus, not Joseph's wife.
Right.
Which I think is pretty important because Jesus is the principal person here.
Yeah.
And because she's, of course, she's the wife of Joseph, but she's the mother of the Messiah, which is the greatest honor and dignity that anybody, you know, of every woman who's ever lived, nobody's had that.
Yeah, the Theotokos.
And nobody will again to be the Theotokos, the God-bearer.
Mm-hmm.
Never going to happen again. And even Elizabeth in Luke chapter 1, 42 to 45, their famous visitation at Elizabeth's house, says, you know, who am I that the mother of my Lord should come?
Yeah.
So she sees through the Holy Spirit that this is an unbelievable woman who's unbelievably honored. And Elizabeth's honored that this woman even comes to her house.
Elizabeth does proclaim that, how is it that the mother of my Lord should come to me?
Yeah. That's right.
So Elizabeth knew that who Mary was carrying in her womb was her Savior.
Yes.
You know,
it was going to be her salvation.
Yeah. Kind of reminds me of that song, Mary, Did You Know?
Yeah, that's
a great song. I think they did.
That's a great song. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so this, even though Mary and Joseph have this great honor and they have baby Messiah, they still have to go through this ordeal.
Mm-hmm.
There's no prosperity gospel here. There's no, now that Messiah is born, you guys are going to have it made. They got to run away.
Mm-hmm.
And they got to go to a far place. And Jacob's son Joseph, who this Joseph would be his namesake, was also driven to Egypt from the land because of his brothers trying to kill him.
Right.
And so that's another type, another parallel of Jesus, because Joseph, Jacob's son, ends up in Egypt because his own brother sold him into slavery.
Yeah.
And he leaves his people and goes to this foreign Gentile pagan land. And then eventually says, what you guys meant for evil, God meant for good.
Yeah.
And they could say this to Herod. Of course, Herod dies. But, you know, neither Joseph really understands what's going on at the time.
Yeah.
But it's for protection.
Yeah, it's not until Joseph's brothers come back and they're looking for food during the time of famine that Joseph realizes who they are.
Yes.
And he hides that from them.
Yes.
He doesn't tell them right away.
Yes.
And Joseph provides for them. Joseph gives them food and shelter and, you know, then after a while, Joseph reveals to them who he is.
Yes.
You know, and it's the same way with Jesus. After a while, Jesus reveals, you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees will ask him, Are you going to keep us in suspense longer? Yeah. Tell us who you are. You know, tell us if you're him.
Yeah.
And when Jesus does, they reject him.
Yes.
He blasphemed me. He made himself out to be God. He asked me to tell you.
Yeah. He said, I've been telling you.
Yeah. So he reveals himself to his people.
Yeah.
After a time.
Yeah.
And,
it's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The first Joseph, it ends up being for the protection of the people that the people end up in Egypt.
Right.
And now Egypt is used to protect the Messiah with the second Joseph taking him there.
It's interesting that God does use Egypt to protect his son.
Yes.
The nation, you know, the land in Egypt to protect his son as a hiding place.
Yeah. Yes. And we don't know. They probably went to some Jewish community that was there. I don't know, because it doesn't really tell us.
Yeah, it doesn't really say anything like.
But one thing for sure, and we don't know how long they were there, but one thing for sure is while they were there, they couldn't go to the temple. There was some period of time.
Yeah, there wasn't a temple in Egypt.
Right, where they couldn't really do the ritualistic law.
Only in Jerusalem.
But they had Messiah with them.
Yeah.
So they were so far from the temple, but they had one greater than the temple there, as he said.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. And the quote from Hosea, in Hosea 11:1, it says, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son.
Mm-hmm.
So here, and there's that beautiful Marty Goetz song about the lamb dying on the cross, and the blood and water came from his side, and it's he calls Jesus the broken heart of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of a, you know, he says, when Israel was a child, I loved him. So God the Father loves little Jesus, who's really the personification of Israel,
mm-hmm.
and then calls him out of Egypt, just like he called his people out of Egypt.
Yeah.
So these are great parallels. That's why when people tell me the Old Testament's boring, it makes me nuts.
Yeah.
Of course, you've taken the Torah class about 18 times, so it doesn't matter. Someday we'll put the Torah class on TV.
Oh, there we go. Gift of Grace TV. Yeah. Coming to a household near you soon.
You need a special antenna to get it. So this is, you know, this has significance, Old Testament and New Testament relationships. And here Matthew's already calling Jesus God's son. He's making that comparison. Out of Egypt, I've called my son.
Mm-hmm.
And this is different than calling Israel his son. So, you know, God says, tells Moses to say to Pharaoh, Israel's my son, my firstborn. So this is his true son, the only begotten son. And there's also a connection to Egypt. And he's not going to leave his people in Egypt. And he's not going to leave his son in Egypt, just like God wasn't going to leave the Israelites in Egypt. The Messiah is not going to be left in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to call them back out. And if you have the passage there still in front of you, but when the angel tells him it's okay to go back.
I do.
Yeah, why don't you read that?
When Herod had died, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, rise, take the child and his mother and go back to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. He rose, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruler over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go back there. And because he had been warned in a dream, he departed for the region of Galilee. He went and dwelt in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He shall be called a Nazarene.
Woof. Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Woof. And interestingly, I don't remember if we did this from Isaiah before Christmas, but the root that comes from the stump of Jesse, the branch that comes, the Hebrew word for that is Netzar, which is the root word for Nazareth.
Mm-hmm.
I say, here's the music.
It is.
Well, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray that as we journey through this flight to Egypt and the return to Egypt, that you too would be as Joseph and respond to God's call for God's glory. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.